You're listening to the Fresh Tate Network.
What it is? What it do? Welcome to Fresh Take. Joshua, Adam, William, Arbuthnot. It is the ISO podcast talking about day one of NBA free agency. And yeah, we had a lot of action on NBA free agency, but there's only one place to start. Oh yes, there's only one place to start. Kevin Durant has asked for a trade from the Brooklyn Nets, talking to owner Joe Tsai, demanding it about 4 hours before the free agency period really got its start to the day. And man, oh man, has it made every single team in the NBA, other than a few, and Bucks, maybe the Hawks at this point, after the Devontae Murray trade, which we'll get to, really think that we can do a package for him. Now, the two places that he wants to go the most are Phoenix and Miami. Miami's a tricky one, because you're not going to trade Jimmy Butler. And you can't trade Bam Adebayo as long as Ben Simmons is on the team, because you can only have one rookie designated contract per team. So some work to go there for Miami to figure out other ways that they're going to be able to get Durant on their squad. Phoenix, you know, obviously has the Bridges piece. They could do a sign and trade with DeAndre Ayton. So, and I don't even know if the Aiden thing works as well, I believe, because of the designated rookie salary. So there's a lot of gymnastics that the Nets have to do here in this trade. And then you have to wonder too, like, are they going to do the Kyrie trade? Are they going to wait? Do you do the Durant trade first, get that all done, get your pieces there, and then move and do the Kyrie trade? I'm not sure where they're going. I mean, at this point, Kyrie probably doesn't want to be there. He's going to be more trouble. Do you just take the Lakers package of getting Westbrook, just deal with Russ there, whatever else you get after the Durant trade, and then maybe take a young player like Taylor Horton-Tucker and maybe some picks and see where that goes? So they got to figure that part out of the deal, and we'll see where that all goes. They have some ancillary pieces there too, like a Joe Harris, like a Seth Curry. Do people want a piece of those players? I mean, if I was that team, I'd love to have a Seth Curry. So we'll see what happened there. And would they, you know, still consider? They just got Ben Simmons. And I know there's a lot of baggage with Ben Simmons. And somehow he's forgotten about all this. Not just Ben Simmons forgotten all this. It's Coach Steve Nash, who Kevin Durant recruited to be a coach for the Nets. So there is a lot of moving parts to go here with everything. Nothing really moved yesterday. You just hear a lot of the stuff, right? At one point, Durant wanted to be with Kyrie. At one point, it's like, no, Durant will just go wherever and they'll find their way back to each other. Durant will get to a location and Kyrie will be a free agent next year and figure it out. Then there was, oh, well, Kyrie's going to force himself to the Lakers. And then, you know, executives like, well, you know, they might work their way to the Lakers because, you know, Anthony Davis could be part of a trade. So you've heard everything all over the place. Right now, we don't really know much. We know that Phoenix and Miami are at the top of the chart. As Andy Kenyar and I talked about on here, I think the best possible destination for him, at least for a trade, is Toronto, because they have so many pieces. And I sigh there because I look at the pieces that they would move, and I've heard Scotty Barnes' names a few times for KD. I just don't think you can do Scotty. You can do Pascal, maybe a Gary Trent, maybe OG. Some combination of that and picks. But I think if you have Durant, you want to try to keep Scottie Barnes. That's the one player you want to keep, because even if Durant gets hurt, at least you have Scottie Barnes for your future. And obviously that's a player that the Nets are going to heavily look at, is a Scottie Barnes. But you can get a Pascal Siakam. That's a guy that was the third team All-NBA player last year. I think you try to do that if you can. So their team, Denver was a perfect fit for me at one point with Michael Porter Jr., but now the injuries, how does that affect things? But you slide Kevin Durant in there and you give him Michael Porter Jr. and Bones Highland and a lot of picks. Maybe throw back KCP, who they recently just got. All of a sudden, you know, nice little three there with with Jokic and Jamal Murray and Kevin Durant. It's pretty nice out there in Denver. The Avalanche just won the Stanley Cup. The Broncos have Mr. Let's Ride Russell Wilson there and have high hopes for what they're going to be able to do this year. All of a sudden, Denver becomes a nice little city of sports franchises. So that's a team that I have looked there. And then the Pels. The Pels are a team to keep an eye on with all of this as well, of what they can do. Just this morning, just before we got on air, Zion Williamson got his max for 5 years, $231 million. And, you know, when we saw Zion, he was an absolute max player, was an all-star last year, showed everything that we believe in him. But would that be something that the Pels would be interested in? You would figure the Nets would. Get Zion Williamson. That's a game-changing athlete, player for your franchise. Would it be Brandon Ingram? I think a lot of the smart basketball fans have looked at the Pels. I mean, those are really my three teams when I look at trades that make the most sense. It's Denver, Toronto, and New Orleans. I've seen Portland batted around, but there's just nothing that works with Portland, right? What, you're going to get Anthony Simons, Nas Little, Josh Hart, sign and trade with Nurk? What does that do for me if I'm Brooklyn? I'm trading you Kevin Durant. And Anthony Simons is a really nice young player. Really nice young player. But we have none of our picks for the next 5 years. They're either straight up to the Houston Rockets or they're pick swaps. So this entire idea of Portland, I think Blazer fans need to give it a rest because they just don't have the piece. Unless they want to trade Dame Lillard, which defeats the whole point of going to Portland. So I just don't see Portland as a destination. I don't know if they could trade Jeremy Grant because he was recently traded. Maybe they could, but even if they trade Jeremy Grant, it's not worth it. I mean, when the Nets are talking about that they want two former All-Stars, the equivalent is guys that are close to that. So that's why we mentioned a Scottie Barnes, a Zion Williamson, right? These are guys that are, well, Zion is an All-Star, but Scottie is a future All-Star, right? You're talking about guys like that that are on the precipice of being an All-Star. Scottie was the Rookie of the Year last year. That's why I look at the Raptors, for example, again. They have two All-Stars. They got Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet. There you go. There's two All-Stars right there. Look at the Lakers. And that's the trade I think that would crash the NBA, and we would be on our way to a lockout. And I think, regardless from whatever happens here, I believe the CBA is up in 2024. If I'm wrong, send me a DM, send me an email, and correct me. But I think we're headed to a lockout here in the next little bit. And I hate to say it, and I hate to be a downer, but just the player movement like this, it's a lot of fun for the casual fan. And look, for all NBA fans, it's fun to talk to your buddies and have this conversation of, oh, this package and this package and this package. It's great. It's super fun. It's great to listen to on podcasts, right? Every NBA podcast is going to have it. And that's awesome. But it's really bad for the NBA that these players now can sign four-year deals and be like, well, it's just a piece of paper to me. I can do whatever I want. You're more or less just in a transfer portal at that point, right? I mean, it used to be, like, Anthony Davis had 2 years left in his deal, right? He's like, oh, a year after, he's going to walk. He's going to leave. So it's like, okay, well, you know, there's a reason that we may want to move on from this player. Kevin Durant signed an extension and has 4 years left. This is probably his last big contract of his career. He's 34 years old right now. So after this, like, he's done. So you're going to get him for four more years, and he's going to help you win a championship. Almost any team that Kevin Durant goes to is an automatic contender, right? I mean, we list some of those teams. If he goes to the Raptors, depending on the pieces, let's say you're able to get it for Pascal and, let's say, Gary Trent. Well, okay, you still have OG Anunoby. You still have Precious. You still have Scottie Barnes. You still have Fred. Like, that's a leading team to win the NBA championship, including having Nick Nurse. Goes to the Nuggets. Well, you got Joker. You got KD and you got Jamal Murray. You got a chance. They're able to work the Phoenix trade out that a lot of people are given the idea of with Ayton and Bridges, maybe Cam Johnson. Fine. If you have the proposed idea of Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and Kevin Durant, you are a championship team. And then you just work around it from there. So that's why people are going to risk so much for KD. And just what a colossal mess this Brooklyn situation was. In 3 years, one playoff win. And you can talk about the whole, oh, Durant's toe was on the line, and they were so close to making it to the next round, and they would have won an NBA championship. Who knows? We can't play the games what if. You know? Just what a colossal mess that this time last year, they were like saying, well, if we're just healthy, we're just healthy. And then the Kyrie stuff happened and Harden didn't come in shape. And it's just been a mess. And we're looking at a situation a year later that they have three future Hall of Famers on their team and could have none. I mean, we don't know what they're going to get back in the trade, right? We don't know yet. Maybe they will have someone that is at that level. But as of right now, that's not the case. So we now wait and see what happens with Durant. We wait and see what happens with Kyrie. But like I said, there's a lot of interesting things here that have to happen with the cap and things that need to come back. And I don't think this trade is going to happen right away. Maybe I'll eat my words on it. LeBron joined the Lakers on July 1st. So things have happened on July 1st. I think even Kawhi, I believe, was the 4th. I believe. So, yeah, I think it was the 4th. I'll have to double check that. But so my point is that this is going to take some time to figure itself out. The Nets have no need to rush into a trade right away. There's no reason to jump right into it. They have time. I did think the one thing I will say I messed up on is having an off-air conversation with Andy Kenyar is I thought that it would maybe freeze free agency for a bit. I thought some teams would hold off on big moves. And to a degree, you have seen it. You know, the two of the teams that are interested in him, in Phoenix and Miami, you haven't seen it anything other than retaining their players, right? Miami brought back Victor Oladipo, and Miami, you know, signed Booker to an extension. I was on QR77 on Thursday, and I looked at that Booker situation. He had 2 years left, and I was wondering, I wonder if he'll wait it out and see what Robert Sarver does to this team. But he takes the money, and well-deserved for Devin Booker, so good on Phoenix to lock up their best player right now, regardless of what happens right now. We don't know if this team's going to have Kevin Durant or not. This is a team that was the first seed last year. Stumbled a little bit in the playoffs, but it's good for them to lock up Devin Booker there. So he'll be a Sun for quite some time. And we'll see if Kevin Durant is one to join him. So, yeah, that's the latest with Brooklyn. Just a devastation. I think they have to be a front runner right now for worst team of the year, just with everything that's happened from January to now, right? I mean, this is the same year they had all the James Harden stuff happen, Kyrie stuff happen, traded for Ben Simmons stuff happened, then they got swept in the first round of the playoffs, and now Kevin Durant asked for a trade. So we'll see with the comeback that they get. Remember, they have to roster a decent team. This team cannot tank. They cannot tank. They have to hover around at least being like a 7 or 6 seed. They cannot be in the lottery because those picks are going to the Rockets for the next 5 years. You know, it's not just a simple, well, okay, whatever. We tried. Let's blow it up. And hopefully for Brooklyn, you know, you've had two bites of the big three apple, right? With having Garnett and having Paul Pierce and Deron Williams and Joe Johnson. That was one of the eras that they had there where they traded all their pieces in for those Celtics players and turned out to be Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown on the receiving end. And now they put all the chips in to get James Harden to this team for Kevin Durant. And look, Kyrie is a lot to blame, and Kyrie's a big part of this disaster. But let's not act like James Harden or Kevin Durant are innocent in all this. Kevin Durant wanted James Harden there and mortgaged the future of Brooklyn. And Sean Marks did too. And why wouldn't you? When you have a guy like Kevin Durant, you want to make him happy, right? They mortgaged their future. They got rid of great young players on this team like Jared Allen and Caris LeVert and a bunch of picks just to appease what their stars wanted. And now they're in this hole, and it makes the Durant trade a lot more interesting because what assets can they get back when they had a lot of good assets? And you still do it, though. You still do it 100 times out of 100. You still go for Kevin Durant and Kyrie when you did it, because Kevin Durant is a proven great top 15 player of all time. So you go for it every time, even if you blow up that D'Lo, Jared Allen, Caris LeVert team. You go for it every single time. This is just an unfortunate outcome that I don't think, if you would have told people, well, what do you think this team does in 3 years? I think people would have said, well, at least an NBA Finals appearance, surely. I don't think people would have had, well, they're, I think a lot of people figured Durant would have played that first year because of the Achilles, right? But having all three players, yeah, I think you wouldn't have predicted a sweep and then out in the second round. So that's where we are right now with the Kevin Durant situation. Let's go around the association to kind of look at the rest of the league. Let's talk about, really quickly, the other trade here, the Devonte Murray trade. So Gallo goes back the other way. He'll be waived, not till the 6th. And they get a bunch of picks. And more or less, the Hawks are kind of going for it. And it's hard to judge where this Hawks team will sit in the Eastern Conference, a tough Eastern Conference, because we don't know who else is on the team yet. I would assume a Kongwu will be on the team. DeAndre Hunter would be on the team. But other than that, I can't say if Kevin Huerter or John Collins, who has been in the trades forever, him and Miles Turner should just start a reality show called We're Gonna Get Traded. Seriously. And Clint Capella could be traded too. So it's hard for me to judge what this Atlanta team is until we have an idea what the actual roster will be. So at this point, yeah, the backcourt looks really good. You got a guy in Trey that's an All-NBA, All-Star performer. Great contributor. Distributes the basketball great. Obviously, you know, can shoot the three really good. Defense is terrible. And I think that's one of the reasons you bring in Devonte, who's one of the best defenders in the NBA. He's going to be able to take on some of those lead guards now that Trey couldn't take on, right? And you can kind of hide Trey a little bit now, kind of the way the Celtics used to do with prime Isaiah Thomas with Avery Bradley, to a degree, right? You put Avery Bradley more on the primary player, and then you just kind of hide Isaiah. And that's kind of what they're going to be doing with Trey, is Devonte will kind of be taking some of that role. He was an All-Star last year. He's a great player. Even if they just have this roster that they have going forward, I don't know if where they are. They're not better than the Celtics. They're not better than the Bucks. They're not better than Philly. They're not better than the Heat. There's four teams I don't think they're better at. Then you get to that Raptors, Bulls area. I don't think they're better than Toronto, who Toronto has a chance to just be the best regular season team right now, even if they stay as is and they don't trade for Kevin Durant. So it's an interesting trade for Atlanta. I get it, but here's the thing too. So there's so many Murrays. Devonte Murray is a free agent in 2024, and there's no guarantee he's going to stay with the Atlanta team. You know, especially, like I said, the East is tough. And if he kind of looks around and says, the window isn't here, I'm going to leave. So you had 2 years of him, and then you mortgaged your future for a Drew Holiday-like trade. So we'll see. I mean, that's the key now for the Hawks is they're going to have to try to entice Devonte to want to stay there. As for the Spurs, they're going for Victor. They're going for French Vic. They are putting their chips in. They let Lonnie Walker walk. We'll talk about him in a second and where he landed. And they let Murray go. They are going to just develop Keldon Johnson this year. It's Josh Primo time. We'll see a little bit more of Devin Vassell. They brought in Skolin this year in the draft. Pop is just going to be in the era of developing players, and they are going to hope that they have the lottery balls go their way and then get Vic. If not, then they can get Scooter and kind of reset this way. I give it to RC and I give it to Pop. The big three leaves. Then they have this kind of era of DeMar and LMA there for a second, and they just wouldn't go down. They were in the play-in game the last 2 years. I believe they were an 8 or 7 seed the year before that. You know, it just shows how good of a coach the Pop is. It really does. With the talent that he had, he maybe should have been near the bottom. But Pop knows how to coach players. Coach Javonte to be an all-star. And Javonte had a lot of talent, but he came off that ACL and came back. So shouts to him and shouts to the Spurs development team. And now it's going to be weird seeing San Antonio be especially bad, right? That's not to act like they were a world beater the last few years, but like I said, two play-in appearances, so they weren't going down without a fight. But now for San Antonio, it's going to be hoping that they can hit the jackpot one more time like they did back in 1997 and build their entire franchise around a game-changing big. All right, as far as, and then we had another trade, two other trades. The Knicks traded Nerlens and Alex Burke to the Pistons, and that was pretty much trade salary there. So, you know, the Pistons, who at one point seemed like a prime team for Aiden, now have Durin and then have James Stewart, and now have Nerlens Noel there for depth at the center. So they're great at center. And then they had a decent role player there in Alec Burke, so he'll be able to get a few minutes there. I've liked the way this Pistons team is. I think they're a team that should maybe be in it for French Vic, but they're going to at very least be a play-in team, and maybe they're going to be around in the lottery, 12, maybe 10, in that area potentially. And we'll see if the ping-pong balls are extra nice to them when it comes, but they're going to be a fun team to watch this year. And then Denver, as I mentioned, they traded Will Barton and Monte Morris to the Wizards for Contavious Caldwell-Pope and Ishmael. Love the KCP pickup. He's just a great 3-and-D player. Arguably was the Lakers' third-best player at times in their finals championship run. And he's going to be a great two-guard fit next to Jamal Murray for what this can do. Joker's going to be able to find him open, hit the three a lot. It's a really nice piece for Denver. Ish Smith is nice as well. If he does play, he'll pass, I believe, Jim Jackson for playing for the most NBA teams in history with 13. Elsewhere in the NBA, well, the Houston 76ers, apparently. Daniel House and P.J. Tucker, they both signed there. The Wizards, they signed some vets. And DeLon Wright, he signs for a 2-year, $16 million. So getting a backup guard there. So they have Monte Morris, and they have DeLon right there, so some backup point guard help come in the Wizards' way. They also re-signed Brad Beal to a big deal. And, I mean, this is kind of the new era of NBA. Brad's just going to go into his deal, and if he's not happy, then he'll ask for a trade. That's kind of what it is. He just took his money, and then he'll figure it out. 5 years, $251 million. Timberwolves, they had Slo-Mo. 2 years, $18 million. I thought that was a really good deal. 9 years for Kyle Anderson. I thought it's a really good deal. Especially for Minnesota, that's on the upward trajectory. You figured Memphis was going to lose some of the depth they had. They were able to get Tyus Jones back, but they lose Slo-Mo here, which I think a lot of people figured he was on the way out. So, nice get for Minnesota. He's a great defender. He's going to fit in great there in Minnesota as they try to push their way up the Western Conference going forward. Thunder re-signed Lu Dort, who opted out. He signed a big one, 5-year, $87 million. Rockets, they got Deshaun Tate back, 3 years, $22 million. I really love what Tate's been able to do, so good addition there. Raptors, they bring back two of their young pieces in Chris Boucher and Thad Young. The Pistons, they're just going young. They go and get Kevin Knox, who was a Hawk. Kevin Knox, $6 million over 2 years, so $3 million. A year and, you know, see what they can do. Can they be the team that cracks the Kevin Knox code? And then they went and got Marvin Bagley as well. Re-signed Marvin Bagley. 3 years, $37 million. Pretty big for Marvin Bagley. Had a really good end of the season. And showed a little bit of what made him the number two pick in that draft. And why people liked him so much. So we'll see what they have going forward. But if they can get Marvin Bagley to be what they think he could be. I mean, all of a sudden you have like a nice front court there. Of future front court there of Jalen Duren and Bagley there. You got Sadiq Bey. With Jaden Ivey and Cade Cunningham, that kind of looks to be your five core for the future. And you got James Stewart there as a backup center. And then we talked about some of the pieces they've added now. Oh, it's a nice little young core they're building there. DeAndre Jordan, he goes to the Nuggets. So he's going to be a backup there to Joker. I had, as a Laker fan, dealing with the DeAndre Jordan experience, I'm surprised he's able to get another deal. But Nuggets wanted to feel that they needed a backup center there, so they go with Jordan, Nick Claxton, Patty Mills. I don't think they got the memo. They go back to Brooklyn. So at the very least, Nick Claxton looks like to be the future center right now of the Brooklyn Nets, and we'll see again what happens with Phoenix there. And Patty Mills, he goes back 2 years, $14 million for him there. So that's a movable contract at the deadline, and you know as we get there, there might be teams looking at a Patty Mills going forward. JaVale McGee, 3 years, $20 million to the Mavericks. So the Mavericks, the one problem they've had the last few years is they haven't had that solid center. All respect to Dwight Powell, but now they add Christian Wood, and then they add a really good rim-protecting center in JaVale McGee there and lock him up. So I've liked the moves they've made so far. Losing Jalen Brunson and not putting the option on him when he was a rookie to make him an RFA, it's a little bit of a fail on the Nuggets. But, you know, bringing in Christian Wood, who can score from deep, and then JaVale, so they've done a good job of having protection around the rim and some scoring that can stretch out from three from the big position. So those additions right there are huge going forward for Dallas. Mo Bamba, he goes back to the Mavericks, 2 years, $21 million. A lot of people wanted him. And then the Lakers, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Damian Jones, Troy Brown, and Lonnie Walker. All these contracts are one-year deal. Damian Jones is a two-year. That's important to note because the Lakers next year will have about $60 to $80 million when, depending if, you know, Russ is still on the team, the Russ contract expires, and even if Kyrie does get traded to the team, depending if other pieces come. But at this point right now, the Lakers will have about $60 to $80 million to work with next year in free agency. So keeping that option available to them right now. And, you know, cool story, Lonnie Walker and Troy Brown, best friends, so they get to play together. And Clutch. Clutch is definitely hitting hard in the Lakers organization over the last few years. And Damian Jones, who had a cup of coffee with the Lakers, I think he played about seven games before he was replaced by Andre Drummond for the Lakers squad. He's a great, again, just a nice rim protecting, high field goal percenting hitting center that they can put in. He's not going to have a lot expected of him. You can put him in the starting lineup. He can play that center position because we know Anthony Davis likes to play the four, and he knows his role. So I think it was important for the Lakers to find a reliable center. And you kind of look at the blueprint what the Lakers have right now. It's getting guys that can play defense and hit the three and be young. I think they learned a lot last year with everything that happened that they didn't have a lot of the defense. And that's the thing that helped the Lakers when they won the championship in 2020 was having some of those good defensive players, having a KCP, having an Alex Caruso, having Avery Bradley at that point, you know, play good defense, right? And Kyle Kuzma was a really good defender for them at that point. So I think they're trying to go back to that identity, and that's the identity that Darvin Ham has hammered so hard for this Lakers team. Even, you know, talking about Russ, he's like, if Russ wants to play on this team, he's going to have to play defense. And that's no difference now if Kyrie's on this team, right? And those are two players that lack in defensive high ability. But regardless of who the point guard is going to be on this team, whether it's Russ or Kyrie, they're going to have to play defense too. We know Anthony Davis and LeBron have that capability. But the Lakers doing a good job remodeling their team right now with some good young players. The Knicks. So we knew it was coming. We talked to Peter about it the other day. They add Jalen Brunson. So we'll see what the future holds there. He's their point guard of the future. They got Isaiah Hartenstein. He's now their center there. I haven't seen anything on Mitchell Robinson yet. I think he's a great get for whoever can get him. But Isaiah Hartenstein had a great season for the Clippers. 2 years, $16 million, so $8 million a year is a pretty good deal for him. We'll see, like I said, if they bring back Mitchell. But I like that's a nice get there for the Knicks. The Clippers were kind of resigned to the fact that he was going to be gone. Malik Monk, he leaves the Lakers. He goes for 2 years, $19 million to the Kings. He reunites with his Kentucky teammate, Aaron Fox. So he goes to Lakers, gets a minimum contract, has a nice season, and now he gets paid. Nice pickup there for the Kings. The Jazz, this is just before the trade happened for the trade request happened for Durant. They traded Royce O'Neal to the Nets for their 2023 first round pick. My goodness. Because the Nets could have maybe tried to tank a little bit this year and go for French Vic. And now that's gone, and now that's Utah's. So, Royce O'Neal, welcome to the Nets. I guess we'll see who your other teammates are. The Heat, they bring back Victor Oladipo for 1 year, $11 million. He had a nice playoffs, and they bring back a solid backup in DeJuan Dedmon. The Grizzlies, they get Tyus Jones back, $15 million a year. Clippers, we add Amir Coffey and Nick Batum to their lineup. And then the Bulls, they get Andre Drummond on a two-year, $6.6 million contract. So a nice backup center there for Chicago, for Vooch. I like that move quite a bit. And then the Bucks. Bucks had a nice, very nice day. They got Javon Carter, who was one of my favorite free agents. I think he's one of the most underrated assets in the league. So good job bringing back Javon Carter. They re-signed the vet, Wes Matthews. He re-signs there. And then they get Joe Ingles. I think a lot of people just had penciled in Joe Ingles back to Utah. And he's going to Milwaukee for 1 year, $6.5 million. So, and that's kind of the player they missed, right? You know, DeVincenzo was traded to the Kings. I thought maybe they'd be a team interested in maybe talking to DeVincenzo and bringing him back. Maybe they could, but they get a guy in that DeVincenzo type of form that can hit the outside three really, really well. You know, Giannis is going to be able to find him open. So a nice move there, bringing in Joe Ingles to the Bucks. And then Bobby Portis, he also re-ups 4 years, $49 million. He had a great final, so he's finally getting his bag now. And then Anthony Simons, he gets his extension, 4 years, $100 million for the Blazers. And then we had all the extensions. Karl Towns, Devin Booker, Zion Williamson, Nick Jokic, and Ja Morant. As we have been recording, Ricky Rubio returns to the Cavaliers on a 3-year, $18.4 million deal. And Thomas Bryant right now is weighing decisions between going to the Boston Celtics or returning to the Lakers, where he started his career. So we will see what happens there. But a lot of movement so far. We'll see if the big one with Kevin Durant happens. We'll see where these shows go. We'll have another one within the next 2 days or so. Maybe I'll have someone on there to kind of talk about everything that has happened. But that'll be it for me today. Thank you, everyone, for listening here to the Fresh Take Network. You can catch us everywhere on social at Fresh Take 42. And until next time, everyone, cheers and enjoy the day, people.
You're listening to the Fresh Take Network, NBA Draft Special.